After USC, I set out to become an educator, a champion of students. I traveled across the country to learn from the best at Teachers College, Columbia University. My family could not afford to travel with me when I moved, but they were there in force at graduation. I rode with my mother on the Hudson train line to visit the campus where I had landed my first job offer, Vassar College. Our taxi entered through what seemed like the archway to a brick castle, and in an instant, there we stood like two bright dots against a monochromatic backdrop of main building. "If you don't take this job, I will." Her eyes were wide with disbelief of the beauty of the campus staring back at us. My time at Vassar introduced me to students from around the country. I learned about private schools and heard the term elite for the first time. My travels took me to places I'd never been before, including Florida, Texas, Kansas, Minnesota, the Dakotas, and up and down California. Meeting students and their families was my favorite part of the job, and most all of them had a clear plan and path for getting admitted to college, which included taking all the right academic courses, signing up for summer programs, reading, learning, and experiencing new cities, sports, and talents along the way. Even with my fancy diplomas, some of these 15-year-olds could run laps around me in a hot second. At the ripe old age of 26, as a first-year admission counselor at one of the most elite colleges in the country, there I stood, in complete awe, realizing that what I had always assumed was wrong. We do not all begin on the same playing field. Not even close. I've been helping families navigate the college admission process since that very day. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of the book Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens. That is a mouthful. Welcome to Destination University. For 20-plus years now, I've helped hundreds of students from many different backgrounds access top-choice colleges around the country. But perhaps what I'm most proud of is the over $5.2 million my campers have earned in merit dollars just this year. Class of 2020, way to go. But as you likely already know, not everyone is successful in this process. Every year, I hear stories of students who were denied to their dream colleges, in spite of having done everything right. And that's why you are personally invited to join my free masterclass, The Anatomy of a Successful Dream College Application. I believe the only way to plan for your future is to create it. How do you create it? You get a visual for what you're chasing. And that's what this webinar will do. You'll get the answers and that you need, and you'll get to make your game plan adjustments accordingly. If you are a parent of a college-bound teen, this masterclass is for you. If your high-achieving teen has at least one dream college on their list, this masterclass is definitely for you. And if you applied to college, well, let's just say if you applied to college in the 90s, like me, or actually before that, you are looking for all the help you can get. So this masterclass was made for you. I got you. Pinky swear. You want to go to my website now, drcynthiacolon.com, to sign up. There are still spaces open for the Thursday webinar, May 28th. So you've got to reserve now because time is ticking. So depending on when you're catching this, if you've missed it, you can jump on over to the Facebook group Destination University. I will likely have a link of where you can catch the replay. And I'm launching my new course, Dream College Academy, which I'm telling you, it's probably my favorite course. I'm super excited about it. So you definitely don't want to miss the webinar. And then there'll be a slight opening for you to catch the course as well. Anyway, let's get back to today. Today's episode is an encore of episode number 23, Behind the Scenes College Admission Truths, Part 1. This series was very popular last summer, so I thought if you hadn't heard it and you are maybe for the first time thinking about the college process, maybe you are a parent of someone who just graduated from eighth grade or is about to. So if you're class of 24, class of 22, wherever you're catching me, really, this episode is fantastic. So enjoy, and wherever you are, I hope you're having a happy and sunny day. Stay safe, be well, and I'll see you soon.
There is no guarantee for success, but there are ways to get closer to it when you do the right things. Who you surround yourself with is just as important as what you do. Finding the right people, the right classes, the right activities, and taking the right tests are all decisions that shape your future. Find out more today on Destination University with Dr. Cynthia Colon. Dr. Colon and her guests will give you the tips you need, whether you're a student, parent, or educator. Now, here is your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon.
As an admission committee, we voted with a red, yellow, or green card. That was it. Deny, waitlist, or admit. Three voters, majority of two votes, would win the day. Red, yellow, or green. The long winter days of January were filled with reading applicants nonstop. February was filled with daily committees, with admission officers holding up red, yellow, or green cards at the end of a short presentation on each applicant and each school group. Like a scarlet letter with a big letter A, W, L, or a D, that was written on the cover of each file folder, accompanied with a colored round dot stuck next to the applicant's name. The big question, however, was this: how long would that green sticker remain on that folder? Ugh. March was my least favorite month in college admissions. I awaited, without anticipation, the number I would receive from the assistant director, informing me of just how many students I over-admitted that year. You see, for example, if Vassar's admit rate that year was 30%, and after my February committee meetings, I had an admit rate of 33%, that would mean that I had to go back and find 3% of my greens and turn them into yellows. They would never know, but I did. I'll never forget the girl from California that I had to cut. We had met at one of our events, and I just liked her. She sent in a cute drawing of a princess in a castle, something like that. She was a girly girl, like myself. But other than me really liking her, at the end of the day, I couldn't justify keeping her in the class as opposed to some other really well-qualified and compelling applicant. I had to take solace in the fact that she would land exactly where she was supposed to be. That year, she was moved from a green to a yellow. This breaks my heart, even today. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of the book Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens. Welcome to Destination University. We help college-bound teens create an action plan, become interesting applicants, and write essays that increase acceptance letters. We do all of this through online or live group classes and private counseling. Consider me your step-by-step college admission coach and cheerleader. By being here today, you are helping to grow the community of informed families across the nation. Thank you for joining the movement. Okay, wow. We just came off a mini-series about the University of California, but I have been wanting to do a behind-the-scenes mini-series with you for quite some time now. Part of me is bursting at the seams to tell you everything, And another part of me feels like these are things that you shouldn't know. Sort of like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy and believing that sugar is a food group. There are just some things that you just maybe don't want to know. Well, in any case, today we are talking about the truth about the decisions colleges make. And please keep in mind that these are things I think you should know about, but sometimes they give me pause. So just bear that in mind as you listen throughout today and throughout the three-part mini-series. So when we talk about the decisions that colleges make, what we're really talking about in college admissions speak is the art of crafting a class. So I just want you to sort of envision for a second that every year, what's exciting, I think, to most admission officers is the opportunity to craft a class of freshmen. You know, so it's exciting. Like, you know, what's that going to look like? Who's going to come in? Who's going to pop up in our applicant pool that's just going to just knock our socks off? So it's exciting. And that's why people do this over and over again. I mean, I think I ultimately left the business of college admissions because I didn't like denying more students than I was admitting. But I did love the adventure of traveling across the country in search of students who would be a good match, who would be a good fit, and would take advantage of everything there was to do at Vassar. So, all right. So, here we go. I want to share with you several things. So I'm going to break it up into parts for you and tell you a little bit about how each piece plays a role in crafting a class. Okay. So the first thing I want to tell you about is the majors. How does what you say you want to major in have an effect in the admissions process? So I want you to know that most typical majors are English, psychology, and undeclared. That's the most listed major for any applicant across the country, really. I've heard this over and over again. So if you say you want to major in STEM, for example, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, you should have taken the most rigorous coursework at your school. And the same goes for humanities. Are you in the most challenging English and history courses that your school offers? So to go back to what's listed most often, most students sort of defer to English, psychology, and undeclared when they sort of otherwise don't know what else to write down. So just know that if you are actually interested in one of those majors, then you'll want to have something that sort of backs it up. So what is the course load you're taking, and what are the things that you're doing outside of class that engage you in that particular interest? So I feel like I've been noticing a higher inclination for students to apply as a STEM major, okay? So science, technology, engineering, or mathematics, especially women. So I'm not sure if that's sort of the hot ticket right now or the party line, but here's what you need to know about STEM. It's not easy, and it's not an easy major to get admitted to, and this is not the type of major you want to just kind of love. This is not a major that you can typically get admitted to after the fact. So in other words, you don't want to list English, psychology, or undeclared, and then later try to get in to STEM once you're admitted to that college. It's really not how it works. So you want to, in other words, if you don't think you'll get into the architecture or engineering or nursing major when you apply, the chances of gaining access once you're already a student there is nearly impossible. Many of those majors will have a wait list. So you just want to keep that in mind. If it's hard to get in at the onset, then it's going to be hard to get in later as well. So, okay, I want to point out a couple of things about majors, again, in relation to helping your chances get in terms of admissions. So I mentioned this in the UC miniseries, but it's worth noting again. When I was doing some research at UC Irvine, I saw that they have this they've had this new influx of money come in to their school of their College of Health and Sciences. So in 2017, a family committed $200 million to name the College of Health and Sciences. And the college is called Susan and Henry Samueli. In any case, when you see and notice something like this, where there's been an influx of money or a new college or a renaming of a college or a department, you can bet that that's going to be a priority for that school to fill those slots or fill those seats in those particular majors. So if you are interested in that particular major, let's say it's a new urban planning design program, or let's say there's a new drama or dance program at that college, if you're interested in that, it's probably a good time to apply because they're looking for new students to populate those seats, if that makes sense. Okay? And looking for people to take advantage of those new resources and toys, as we say. Okay. So UNLV, I was also doing some other research, and I've also been to visit UNLV, and I was actually really surprised and impressed by what they're doing there. So I was there in 2017. Okay, so yes, that's perfect. So they were building and going to be welcoming their first cohort of students to their medical school. Now, I know, I realize that's not an undergraduate degree, but take note that when a school adds a medical school to their program, you better believe they're looking for students in the undergraduate programs. And I looked, and there's a ton of like biomedical degrees. So look under Bachelors of Science and look under those majors and see what they're looking for, because you better believe that is going to be one of the quickest ways that they can recruit more and more students to their medical school over the next few years. So graduate programs will also sometimes have a direct effect on what's happening at the undergraduate level as well. Okay? Nothing better than getting in good in your early years if you're considering medical school, because that's no easy feat. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about in terms of how colleges make decisions is school priorities. Now, I sort of mentioned this with what I said about UC Irvine and their new influx of money. So let me just sort of say a little bit more about that. Again, a college is crafting a class. Okay, so the priorities of an institution are going to vary not so hugely from year to year, but there are going to be times in the school's history where they make a shift. That shift in priorities often comes from having a new president of the college. Maybe they have new priorities. Or, like I said, an influx of money, a big donor who donated something, and now resources are being spent in a particular area or a particular department. So you want to kind of keep an eye on that. The bottom line is, this is really talking about, what do you bring to the table? Does your institution that you're applying to value that cool thing that you bring? Did you read the mission and value statements of that college before you considered applying? Do you know what's in the news about this college? I don't mean like the LA or New York Times newspaper. I mean, flip open the school newspaper. Open up the latest communication from the college president. Find out if there's a state of the school annual address from the president. And parents, this is a great research project for you, if I might add. You can help your students, your teens, by doing a little homework for them and sort of making a little cheat sheet, because there's a lot on their plate and they don't have always the bandwidth to do all of that kind of research, but it's going to be helpful to them as they consider where they're really wanting to apply, how they narrow their list, and if it's a good match. So again, I was doing some research for this podcast, and I stopped at UNLV. You know why? Because I loved this one, well, actually two sentences. It says, "We are different, daring, diverse." you belong here. I just love that. That really caught my attention. It may not catch your attention, but then maybe that's not the school for you. So I wanted to share with you the beginning of their mission statement. It says, our mission is for UNLV's diverse faculty, students, staff, and alumni promote community well-being and individual achievement through education, research, scholarship, creative activities, and clinical services. Now, that's a mouthful and it kind of goes on. But then the very last sentence, it says, our vision is that by 2025, UNLV will be recognized as a top-tier public research institution in public research institution for education and community impact. All right. So if you click on read more, it basically outlines their plan for becoming a top-tier institution. So when I read this, this is what I take away from it. If you are the kind of student that likes to lead in a way, lead the way, leave a legacy, and start things, if you have a go-getter kind of mindset, this might be exactly the place for you. So I want you to think about what it says. So I just told you they started a new medical program. I just said they're different, daring, diverse, and they're wanting to be a top-tier institution. So all those things are like, hey, this is the time for someone who's a real go-getter, who wants to blaze the trail. So I have a cousin, Josh Franco, who was one of the first students to graduate from UC Merced. He saw something that he was attracted to. And so when he transferred there from a local community college, he went on to make a real impact there. He went on to become the first student body president at UC Merced. He went on to have several leadership roles on the campus, and he really had a hand in crafting the culture and the legacy for UC Merced. Now, that's just the kind of student he is and continues to be as an adult. So really take a look at what colleges have to say about themselves, and that is telling you what their priorities are. And their priorities are going to be what drives what they're looking for in their applicant pool, okay? So when finding a college for you, don't just consider who or what the institution is now. Think about who it wants to become in the future and how you can play a role in that future. The idea is to find a college that you can give as much as you receive. The investment that you make in yourself and your chosen college will pay off in years to come. Number three is about the number of men and women enrolled in college. You should know that the college population is currently composed of 56% women. That is the truth. Why? Well, I can't answer that question, but I can tell you what this means in college admissions. And this is where I get a little pause because I'm like, oh, they need to know this, but it might make you a little queasy. Okay, so there are more women who apply to college than men, all right? So the obvious question you're asking right now is, does that mean that young men have an advantage? The short answer is, yes, they do. But that doesn't mean that our young men get to slack off. So let me try explaining it this way. Let's say, for example, the acceptance rate for a college is 40%. And if I lined up all of the young girls and young boys, or young women and young men, and I put them on a spreadsheet from top GPA and test scores to bottom, what that college is really trying to do and who they're really trying to admit is that top 40% in the young women's column and the top 40% in the young men's column. Okay. What I'm trying to say is this. There is not a single college that is admitting what they would call underqualified students. If they're admitted, that college believes that that student can and will succeed while a student there. So I'm going to call out the elephant in the room. You might be thinking about athletes that you know that against the reported numbers of who is admitted to that university, this particular pole vaulter or water polo player or softball player would not otherwise be admitted. Okay, so two things. One, if you look at the fact that their admission might be based on their talent, they are definitely in the top 40%. And the same might be true for anyone who is using a performing arts talent to get admitted. An audition to Juilliard or Tisch at NYU is going to trump what is found in grades and test scores. So, number two, if that talent is selected, be it an athlete or the next Lady Gaga, the institution must ask and answer this question. Do we have the resources to support the student in order that she can and will succeed in our academic program? If the answer is yes, well, that talent will likely be admitted. Okay? So I hope this makes sense that, again, how colleges make decisions, you're never going to completely know, and it's never ever going to be just one thing that got them in. But I'm just giving you some pieces that help to solve the puzzle you've been trying to solve for a long time. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just helping shed some light on the process. Okay? All right. Number four is legacies and donors. So this particular topic does make me queasy only because of what we just went through earlier this spring. So yes, this is a touchy subject, but I'm going to address what I know from my experience, my own personal experience, nothing more and nothing less. Okay. So first let's talk about donors. If ever there was an applicant whose parents were high donors, I never knew about it. Okay. That was something way above my pay grade and I didn't know about it. But I will say this, at least at Vassar, every applicant went through the process and went through committee. Each applicant, no matter who they were, whether I knew who they were or not, was given a red, a yellow, or a green card in committee and went through the process. So if ever there was a decision that was changed by the dean, perhaps at the request of, you know, the president of the school or something like that, that was something that happened without my knowledge, okay? And I'm going to say that knowing that I'm assuming that maybe it happened once. I don't know. But that didn't happen very often, if at all. Okay, let's talk about legacies. I did know about these students because it was written right on their application. So our application asked for, and I think most applications do, ask for parent information on the very, you know, page one. That's normal. And they also ask where parents attended college. So, yes, I do assume that's true for every application, but, you know, I don't know this to be a fact. So I just am telling you, I'm always giving you what I know based on my experience. So, side note, I love the fact that our application asked for the mother's information first and the father's second. Vassar was once an all-women's college, and so that was probably a holdover from years before. So that being said, same thing. Let's see. A note was made. I would make a note of the fact that their mother and or father went to Vassar in my notes when I was reading an applicant, okay? So that was noted that they were a legacy student, meaning that either the mother or the father or both had attended Vassar. So I would advocate for that applicant just like any other applicant. I read them with the same perspective, the same goggles, the same lenses as I did with any other applicant. So using those same standards, we would, as a committee, vote red, yellow, or green. So it's important to understand that there's not enough room in any freshman class to admit every single legacy student. There simply is not. And this is, again, I'm assuming this is true for pretty much any college. They can't just admit their legacy students. There's just not enough room. So, but just before we voted, we might ask some questions like this. What? Is the student qualified on their own merits? Two, is there anything else we need to know about this applicant? For example, like, is she also a recruited athlete? Is he the student body president? Did she have an interview? Number three, in other words, is this student interested in our campus of their own volition? Meaning, was it their choice to apply to Vassar, or was it mom or dad's choice to make him apply to Vassar or her? Okay. So we wanted to really understand if this applicant was genuinely interested. Okay. So that's, at the end of the day, what we're looking for in any applicant, but especially we're trying to figure that out for a legacy, because we want to know that the legacy student feels that this is a match for them, not just that the parent who went to that college feels this should be a match for them. Does that make sense? Okay, moving on. Number five, athletes. So I started talking about them a little bit earlier, and I want to give you some fast facts about high school and collegiate athletics. So first of all, of the almost, let's see, about 16.5 million high school students, about 8 million of them play some kind of sport in high school. So nearly half. And of the 20 plus million students in college, 2% are student athletes. 2%. So let's see. Less than 40% are on athletic scholarship, and most play in D3 sports, which offers no athletic scholarships. Okay? So that being said, yes, there are some scholarships to be had and you can be a recruited athlete. The fact is, most high school teens that do play a sport do use athletics as a way to make themselves more attractive in the college admission process. Many of them do. But most of them are just playing a sport in high school, and their career in that sport will end at the end of high school. All right. So you want to, let's see, you want to choose, if you are an athlete, if you're going to try and be a recruited athlete, my best advice is to choose an academic institution and an athletic program that you meet sort of like in between, right? So let's say your grades, you have high grades and you're shooting for, you know, selective institutions, and you are a top athlete. So you might be looking at D1 schools at top selective institutions. But if you're trying to use athletics to get into just a really good school, and you don't mind if you have or don't have a scholarship, then D3 schools are really the way to go. And at Vassar, we were a D3 school. So let me explain to you how that worked in our process. And I often say to students who are athletes, I say, okay, if you're going to try to be recruited, you need to know that coaches have what I call an A-list, a B-list, a C-list. That's what we called it. It might be called something different at a different school, but here's the thing. Coaches are recruiting, and their priority is the team. Admission offices, their priority is the class. And are you qualified to survive and meet the academic standards of the institution? Okay. So different priorities, but athletics is still one piece of the puzzle of the priority of a school. So students who are on an A list for a coach means that they are top recruited athletes, meaning their talents are really going to help improve the team at that institution. Students who are on a coach's C list means that they have talent and will contribute to that team. But that coach might also be thinking that that student may be qualified enough to get in with their own academic merits. So that coach is not necessarily going to push so hard for that C recruited athlete as they will for an A recruited athlete. And then, as you can imagine, a B recruit or a B list recruit is going to be somewhere in between, going to contribute really well to the team and going to bring talent and maybe needs a push, a bump in the admission process, but is also academically qualified for that institution. So somewhere in between, okay? So listen, at the end of the day, we, as the admission office, we were able to take some A recruits, some B recruits, and some C recruits, depending on the team and depending on how many spots were needed for that team. But the admission office was going to look at the whole list from the coach and choose from there. So the best thing I can tell you is don't be afraid to ask the coach where you fall on their list, because you need to know if you need to be a more of an advocate for yourself or if they are going to be. Okay, so you might want to say, how strongly can you support my application, coach? Or you can simply say, are you going to advocate for me or are you expecting me to get in on my own merits? Just be upfront, because if you, whatever the answer is, at least you know, all right? Okay, moving on. Number six in college admission decisions, underrepresented minority students. Okay, much like I shared with the pool of males versus females, the same holds true when it comes to underrepresented minorities. While there are fewer in the applicant pool, it does not mean that they are held to an entirely different standard of measure. So colleges know their applicant pool, and I don't mean just the pool from this year. I mean, they have a history of who applies each and every year, the qualifications applicants bring to the table from a certain state, a certain region, a certain high school. They have lots of data to determine which applicants are best suited to join the campus and succeed. So, okay, so now that we got that out of the way, that is basically what holds true for the males and females that apply, the athletes that apply, and the underrepresented minorities. They're looking for the students who are going to be best suited to join them and succeed on that campus, okay? So let's talk about all the other stuff. So remember, the theme for this episode was really crafting a class, okay? Crafting a class is diversity. And I don't mean just race and ethnic diversity. I mean every kind of diversity that we've discussed today. So, and then, oh gosh, I'm even thinking right now, like geographic diversity. That's something I didn't even mention and I probably should have added. Like we were always in hopes of finding applicants from every single state that were admissible. And then the real fun came at the end, was like, oh my gosh, you know, we hoped to gain a freshman class that represented all 50 states. We didn't always hit all 50 states, but we certainly tried to admit students from all 50 states so that we had a chance of getting kids from all 50 states. So geographic diversity also, I should have mentioned. Wow. Okay. So the other thing is, of course, the other countries and being a diverse that way. So crafting a class, my bottom line is, it means diversity in the freshman class. So when it comes to racial diversity, what many people fail to understand is what underrepresented students bring to the table. They have a different worldview. They have a different life, culture, beliefs, values, life experiences that all adds to classroom discussions, the friendships formed in the residence halls. College is meant, for the most part, to expose students to the real world, offering you experiences and opportunities that you would not otherwise be exposed to. ethnic and racial diversity is simply one component of diversity and should be treated as such. So just consider that as you think about what the school's priorities are. It's underrepresented minorities is just one piece of that puzzle. Okay, so this is number 7, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time here before we wrap up for today. So number 7 is simple. It's about fit and about the match for that college. This is definitely something that plays a role in a decision that colleges make. So a match is not a price to be won, right? It's a match to be made when it comes to colleges. So this is not about the pretty, the perfect, and the prestigious. This is really about you and what fits you. Don't try to fit yourself into a college. Rather, find the colleges that fit you. So I'm going to give you a quick story because I always think about this student who came to my office at the end of, towards the end of her junior year. And Catherine sat across my desk and declared with joy that her first choice was Harvard. "Wow," I said. "That's fantastic. Why Harvard?" And she kind of stumbled over her reply, listing something that I have heard hundreds of times, like, "Oh, it's in a big city," or "there's a major that I want," or "there's a lot of other colleges there, students from all over the world," something like that. And while all of those were good reasons, this told me nothing extra special as to why this college, over any other college, was a match for Catherine. So as Catherine sat on the other side of my cherry wood desk, I was not too impressed. So all I could muster up was say, "Well, it's a good thing you're spending time there this summer. You'll see firsthand what it's like to become a student there." She was headed to Harvard for some summer program that she had been admitted to. And so we agreed that when she got back in August, that she would come back and tell me all about her time and tell me why Harvard would remain her first choice school. So she came back and I cradled my face in my hands with anticipation of a hearing about her love affair with Harvard. Her blue eyes met mine, and she paused. The words out of her mouth, and I kid you not, she said this: "I hated it." She hated it? Like, what? So she had spent 4 weeks in Cambridge, and she had only romanticized this college because it was a top-rated institution, and she, like, had gone gaga over it. But once she was there, she realized it was really just about trying to win the trophy. It had met all of her required checked boxes, but once she actually test drove the institution, it was not the place for her. So there you have it. Take the college out for a test drive if you can. That's maybe my point about fit and about match. Colleges are looking to find a variety of students with a variety of interests and majors. Gender diversity, racial diversity, athletic inclusion, geographic diversity, talents, leadership, altruistic human beings, legacy students, donor children, all are meant to add to an amazing experience once you become part of that life. Nowhere else in your life and in your lifetime will you be exposed to more ideas, people, opportunities, and experiences. So take this awesome time in your life to really choose a place that will likely be what shapes you to become an adult, a professional, and a contributing member of society. You don't have control over the decisions that colleges make. You do have control over the decision you make on which colleges to apply to. That's where you have control. That's where the gold is. And that's super heavy, but super exciting as well. So don't let this amazing opportunity to chart your own course slip away. And speaking of amazing, I want to tell you about two of my star students from my essay camp that took place just a couple of weeks ago. So here's the first one. This comes from Jenny. She says, essay boot camp was not only a four-day camp, it was a roller coaster ride of self-discovery. I learned so much. Each lesson was important and informative and guided me when writing. I wrote a lot, so naturally I gained a lot of experience, but I'm so ready to write more essays. Dr. C and her team's feedback helped develop and mature all four of my essays. It was unbelievably helpful and a great way to attack this awful process. Thanks, Jenny, for saying what most people don't want to say out loud, and that is that this can feel like an awful process many times. Okay, this next quote comes from Tomas, and he says, "This class taught me to express myself in a way I never really knew how. By sticking to why I value certain things in my life, all seven of my essays describe who I am and what I value instead of some story or something I experienced." I think this is so important for colleges to know. Tomas was really a star student. He finished seven essays in just 4 days, and he really left really understanding that that the why you're writing about a topic is more important than the topic itself. Okay. All right, my friends, before I let you go, I should mention that this episode is brought to you by my UC Application Bootcamp. Doors are closing soon for this summer, so you might want to check it out. The UC Application Bootcamp is really for students who want to get ahead. Now, the UC application is opening on August 1st, which is tomorrow. And so you might want to know this. The UC application does not allow for letters of recommendation. Therefore, the essays and everything that a student puts into her or his application is critical in their chances of being admitted. So, with that said, who is the UC Application Bootcamp for? Number one, if you want a coach to help you leverage all your strengths in the UC application, this is for you. Number two, if you want to give your all in attempting to earn a coveted spot at one of the UC campuses, this camp is for you. Number three, if you are willing to put in the time and effort now so you don't have to stress later, this camp is definitely for you. Number four, if you are open to feedback because you know that listening to adults who've been in the business for a long time will improve your chances of getting admitted, then this camp is for you. So if you want to take a peek at what we have to offer in August, you can definitely go to my website, www.drcynthiacolon.com. And what you can expect is you'll get the A to Z UC application is completed in just that week. Number two, you'll have four essays ready for the UCs at 350 words each. Number three, you'll have personal, you might get a personal statement at 600 words if you try really hard. Number four, you'll have guidance on every portion of the application. Number five, recommendation on what to include in some extra information sections. Number six, you'll get step-by-step instruction on the academic sections of the application. Number seven, you'll get advice from which campuses are best suited for you based on your strengths. Number eight, you'll get advice on which majors you should apply to at those individual campuses. This is the most comprehensive camp that we offer this summer. And like I said, doors are closing soon for these summer camps. So you can go to my website, drcynthiacolon.com, and there you have it. Okay, as promised, as always, I should say, I have a gift for you. You can download this freebie for this episode, and it's good. It's going to give you a couple chapters from my book, Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, because really, if you are a senior, class of 2020, or whenever you're watching, listening to this episode, and you are a senior, you're really needing chapters 6 and 7 in my book. And so I want to give that to you as my gift for these 3 episodes, the behind the scenes truth. So you can go to my website, drcynthiacolon.com/23, and you'll find the freebie there. All right. Be sure to tune in next week for our continued mini-series. Part 2 of this behind-the-scenes truths is the truth about your high school and how that plays a role in college admissions. People, I am telling you, I've been around the block too many times, and I want to share my tips, tales, and truths for you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so you do not want to miss the story that I will share in next week's episode. That is all for you today. Thank you for tuning in to Destination University. I'm Dr. Cynthia Colon. If this episode has in any way fueled or inspired you, please share this episode with 3 people in the next 30 minutes. Thank you so much for listening this week. You can subscribe to Destination University wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, leave us a review. It sure does help a lot. By subscribing and reviewing, you are helping to grow the community of informed families across the nation. Thank you for joining the movement. And if you haven't binge listened to our first season, episodes 1 to 13, might I recommend one that might pair very well with today's episode? And that is episode number 10, Stay True, Be You, Get Admitted. I interview the vice president of admissions and financial aid at Harvey Mudd College. That episode is really, really good. And once again, if you found value in today's episode, please share with 3 families in the next 30 minutes. I'll be sure to see you next week, same time, same place. Until then, wherever you are, may you have a happy and sunny day. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening this week to Destination University. Be sure to join Dr. Cynthia Colon again next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and get one step closer to your success. Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolon.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolon.com. Visit the site today.